All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, first show in a couple of weeks. My apologies for not getting a show in last week, but it was spring break. And when you are in charge of the kids when they're not in school and it's spring break, it's a little tougher to get some other things done. And I wanted to get one done, and then it kind of got toward the weekend. I was like, you know, I'll just wait till next Thursday. And it's fine because we've got a lot going on now in the past couple of weeks and even in the past couple of days. Things have happened with the Buccaneers, and free agency now has settled in. You know, all the big breaking stuff happens right out of the gate. But little by little, the Bucs have continued to chip away. And as we sit here now, and of course the latest is Ndamukong Suh, who is being re-signed. And it's not officially signed yet, but he will be re-signed. That leaves now, of that big eight we talked about, two left with Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette. And nothing new has really developed on either of those fronts yet. But in any event, even if neither of those two end up coming back, and of course I'd love to have everybody back possible, to me, the Bucs can already say mission accomplished on free agency as they do a couple things. First of all, and you've probably heard by now, they had to make some sort of move to be able to get Sue because they didn't have any cap room as of a few days ago. So the latest string they pulled was Donovan Smith. They go ahead and make a move with him to extend him. He gets two more years on top of his contract. $30 million are guaranteed. And of course, with voidable years and stuff, it's not a straight $15 million a year cap hit. They spread that money out. We'll talk all about on the show how they've done that. But anyway, that freed up enough room for Sue. They got him. And if you go on and on and on now down the list, they pretty much got everybody back from the team that won the Super Bowl this past year, except for Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette. And we'll talk about how, if they want to get them back, they will, and some other things on the show today. But thank you for joining us, and again, apologies for the hiatus. The free stretch, like it always is, brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. And they've got something going on right now, in addition to all the stuff I always tell you about, which is always true. Unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. You can bring it in anytime. You're covered if there's engine trouble. It can be 5 years from now. If you bought it from Bill Curry Ford, you still own it. You're covered. That's unbelievable. Of course, first year service taken care of at the service center, oil changes, all that, bring it in, they'll do it. You don't have to worry about anything, paying for it or anything like that. Roadside assistance, all that stuff. They've now got that plus the tax match sales event, which is going on through the end of the month. So if you purchase any new vehicle from Bill Curry Ford, they will double your tax refund up to $5,000. Again, on top of all the things I already told you about. They also do social distancing. They also do delivery. So if you don't want to go to the showroom, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can see what you like. If you want to test drive something, say, hey, bring it over. They'll bring it to your office, to your house. You can just test drive it, even if you don't end up buying it. And if you do buy it, they'll bring it to your house, of course, or office or anywhere else without you having to do anything but click on a mouse or on your mouse pad, whatever you use. So it's all taken care of. Check them out. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsboro. Or go to the website, like I said, BillCurryFord.com, serving the Tampa Bay area now for 60 years. And thanks to them, always taking care of us here on the free stretch. And looking at today's show, I want to talk about the free agency stuff. I want to talk about a couple of miscellaneous things I hadn't had a chance to get to yet. I want to talk about something a friend of mine said to me on the phone the other night in reference to the Bucs Super Bowl that kind of made me think a little bit. So first, getting back to what I was just talking about. The Bucs now have 95%, and this is according to Greg Allman on his Twitter feed, Bucs beat writer for The Athletic, they have 95% of their defensive snaps under contract for 2021. And when I say their defensive snaps, I mean of all the defensive snaps taken by any player in 2020, 95% of those snaps are accounted for by players who will still be playing for the Bucs in 2021 on defense. On offense, the number is only a little lower. It's 89%. That would go up to 95% like the defense if they were to re-sign Fournette and Brown. Now, I told you before, I mean, and Fournette, if he ends up coming back, that's great. From what I've heard, from what's been posted and talking to people, there really hasn't been much headway with the Bucks and Fournette. That doesn't mean he's not coming back, because I don't think there's been much headway with Fournette and other teams either. And see, this stuff is all interrelated. It's not just what you do with your guy. It's how much demand is there for your guy. Same thing with Antonio Brown. I mean, if there's no demand for Antonio Brown, or if no market really develops, then all of a sudden his number gets lower, and yeah, maybe the Bucks do bring him back. If someone else throws a huge offer at him, then it probably won't happen. But if they were going to throw a huge offer at him, that would have already happened. So the more days that go by with no movement, the more possible it seems. And it still seems like Fournette's number is probably a little high, not just for the Bucks, but for a lot of teams. So maybe his number will have to come down. And if they can find a way, great. But again, I am not, and I love what Fournette did for us. I'll forever be grateful for it. I'm not very hung up on that one. And even only a little more so with Brown. If I could have one or the other back, I'd rather have Brown back. But even that one, I mean, the Bucks have, they have done what I hope they would do. And, you know, it's not the way they normally do business, but this has been a weird year with COVID and things are different. And so, yeah, the Bucks usually do a pay-as-you-go type thing. And now they're starting to kick the can a little bit down the road. But every team's doing that. And the reason is because we know the salary cap this year is much lower than it would have been in a normal year. And it'll be much higher than that in future years. So a lot of teams know they have that future room to play with. And every dollar has to be accounted for. I mean, you know, some people think this is like funny money. Like, oh, you just sign them to whatever you want. It's all made up and the cap hit. Just, you know, you crunch the numbers and you juice them a little bit. And you make it say whatever you want it to say. And there is kind of a little bit of truth to that way of thinking. But again, you can't make the money disappear. So when you do these voidable years, when you spread out, let's say you pay a guy $20 million and you spread it out instead of over 2 years, you spread it out over four or five. And yeah, that does lower the cap hit now, but you still have to pay that money. And when I say pay, I mean you have to account for that money on the cap at some point. So for example, the Bucks now, after doing new deals for Brady, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, Gronkowski, Sue and Donovan Smith, which were kind of complementary deals to each other. After doing all those things, those deals all add up to almost $90 million, $86 million. And yet their cap hit for the year 2021, for all those deals combined, is $28 million. So, you know, that's almost $60 million difference. But that money just goes to future years. So the Buccaneers have $60 million worth of cap space accounted for over 2022, 2023, 2024. Depending on how long the voidable years are, it varies with each contract. But the point is, that stuff has to be accounted for. Now, it's fine. I mean, they have people over there that know exactly what they're doing. And this is, again, in years that these players may or may not even be on the Bucs anymore. That money will have to be accounted for. But if it is, I mean, even still, like the Bucks, I think next year, as of right now, I think have something like 100 and something million in cap space, even after doing all these deals where they, and when I say next year, I mean 2022. So they're comfortable and it's fine. It's just something to keep an eye on. And the Buccaneers, you know, I think it was a few weeks ago before we re-signed Lavonte David where I was saying, hey, you know, here's what the Rays would do. The Rays would only take, you know, a big picture deal. They wouldn't overpay. They wouldn't get too excited. They wouldn't let emotion get involved. If some other team wants to pay big for a guy who's kind of getting into his 30s and maybe is kind of going to be on the decline coming up, the Bucks should let some other team do that. And, you know, the Rays have done things that way to perfection for years and years now. That's why they've stayed competitive despite having one of the lower overall payrolls in baseball. But the difference also between the Bucks and the Rays is, one, the Bucks do have this money, and you might think the Rays do too. We could argue about that, but the point is, the Bucks, one, do have this money, and two, the Bucks, you know, see, the Rays are always trying to develop. Even when they're good, they're still developing. The Bucks have a window right now. Tom Brady's getting older, but he's still here. He's still doing Tom Brady things. They just won the Super Bowl. They have a unique opportunity here to keep that whole group together and try and do it again, or at least get close again. And so they're not as concerned. I don't blame them. I mean, I'm not saying I have a problem with it. They're not as concerned with long-term. They're not as concerned with 2022, 2023, 2024. Whereas the Rays, whatever year it is in a given year, that year is important, but it's no more important to them than the year after that, or the year after that, or the year after that. 2021 is more important to the Bucks right now than 2022 or 2023. just because of the opportunity they have with the group of players they have. And I say this all the time, there is no guarantee that just because a group of people wins the Super Bowl and you return that same group of people, that means you're going to win the Super Bowl or even be in the Super Bowl again. It doesn't always work that way, and there is a reason that no team has repeated in over 20 years now. And just like and the Chiefs, for example, they were supposed to do it again, and they didn't. Now, they got there, and if you told me right now the Bucs were going to go to next year's Super Bowl, win or lose, I'd already be thrilled. I mean, that's just, that'd be amazing to me. So let's not take anything for granted here. I mean, we just came off of not making the playoffs for, what, 14 years and not winning a playoff game for 19, and now we're all acting like it's a foregone conclusion. Oh, yeah, Super Bowl. Come on, we got everybody back. What are you talking about? I mean, it's hard. When everything is lined up perfectly and you've got everything how you want it to be, which is rare, but even when you have that, your odds of doing it are still well below, you know, 1 out of 4. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the biggest favorite of all favorites. The odds of you versus some other team of the other 31 doing it are well in favor of the field, okay? And you know, just like I've been reading, hey, the Bucs are the presumptive favorite in the NFC South now. Well, of course they are. But they didn't even win the NFC South last year, so it's not like they're, you know, they've been trying to do something they haven't done in a very long time. And now with the quarterback situations around the NFC South, and of course Drew Brees being retired, and we'll see what the Saints end up doing. I know watching Jameis on a video interview the other day, and he got pretty emotional when he got asked about Drew Brees retiring and what it was like to be around him. You know, we'll see if that's really what they're going to do, if Jameis is the guy or Taysom Hill or whoever else. You know, the Panthers and Falcons, I mean, they're not coming off of good seasons or anything like that, but the Falcons, you know, I don't know. I mean, you never know. But yeah, the Bucs should be the team to beat in the NFC South, and of course being able to do that gives you a big leg up once the playoffs start. But the Bucs did it the wild card way this past season. They won the Super Bowl that way, and now again, nearly 90-some-odd percent of all the players that took the snaps for those, you know, both sides of the ball are going to be back in 2021. So the reason I was thinking about what my friend said, to go back what I said a minute ago, because I was talking to a buddy of mine the other night. He's a good friend of mine from college, one of my really good friends from college, a roommate of mine, and you know, we all still keep in touch. He lives in Pensacola now. He's not a big NFL guy. He grew up in Wachula, and he's, you know, huge Gator along with me. You know, we're both UF guys, but he doesn't follow the NFL as closely. He doesn't have a favorite team. But he asked me about the Super Bowl because one of my other roommates and me went to the game from college, and you know, we're all friends. And he was like, "Yeah, you know," he calls me Bob. He says, "Bob, I got to tell you, you know, I don't think it says a lot about the NFL, and I don't mean to diminish the Bucs." He says, "He goes, I don't think it says a lot about the NFL as a league that a mediocre team like the Bucs can just go get Tom Brady and all of a sudden they win the Super Bowl." And I had to kind of, you know, take a step back for a second. And I was like, well, you know, and I guess like my grandfather used to say, I had to kind of educate him. And I don't think the Bucs, I'm not saying the Bucs would have won the Super Bowl if they hadn't gotten Tom Brady. That was obviously very, very important. But I told him, you know, that's not really how it went down. And he admitted, he's like, I didn't watch a ton of it. I don't watch a lot of NFL. And I said, well, I know, believe me, I know. But I said, you know, the Bucs systematically have been building a team over the past few years. They've been really successful in the draft where they weren't even a few years ago. I said, I don't know how many of the games you watched, you know, play by play, but as good as Tom Brady was, the defense in particular in the Super Bowl, but all through the playoffs and all through, you know, the most of the season was a huge part of what they did. And I said, again, I know they had a lot of those same guys on defense from the year before, but it's really hard to describe to somebody who didn't watch the Bucs on a weekly basis. Like, if you're listening to this show, you probably did. But it's hard to describe how much better the defense kept getting. Going all the way back to 2019, and I remember the early part of 2019 being critical of the defense, and they weren't playing that well. And this is last season, not this previous season, but the season before. And remember what happened? They started playing better late in the season, but the schedule also got a lot easier, and they started playing some crappy offenses. And I even said it on the show. I said, you know, the defense has been a lot better. Hats off to them. But they also had, the competition has gotten a lot easier, and I don't think that's a coincidence, and we'll see. And then 2020 started. And this time we had Tom Brady, and the whole outlook on the team was different. And even then, at first, it was like, okay, you know, his defense is definitely better, but you look back to that Chiefs game, the first one, and dropping to 7-5, and Tyreek Hill's doing backflips in our face and clowning us, and, you know, even the first two quarters of that game. I would say that halftime of that game was probably the low point of the Bucs season. They didn't win the game, but in the second half, they played a lot better, and the defense just, and again, the schedule did get easier in the second, you know, part of after the bye week, but still, the defense just kept improving and improving and improving. And then when it got down to nut-cutting time in the playoffs, they were just gigantic. And I told them all those things. I said, you know, this was not just a Tom Brady production. If you look at the offensive line, for and they drafted Tristan Wirfs. That made a big difference. They got solid play out of those guys. Yes, it was partly Tom Brady. It was also some other free agents they added. I don't know if you noticed, you know, Rob Gronkowski there and Antonio Brown and even Fournette, you know, all these people who were new additions. But I tried to explain to him, you know, the Bucs didn't just go sign Tom Brady and do nothing else and just stay idle or sedentary or inactive and then just snap their finger and win the Super Bowl. And I was just messing around with him. I said, if you had actually watched the games or followed the Bucs a little more closely, you probably would have realized that too. But I wonder too, it made me think when he said that, like, is that the perception of the Bucs? I mean, I think most hardcore football fans, it probably isn't. And I don't care about the perception, by the way, because this is not college football. There's no recruiting. There's no committee. There's no having to convince anybody. There's a standings board, and there's a playoff format, and it's all very clearly spelled out, and it's black and white. And the Bucs have a Super Bowl ring on their fingers, so perception doesn't matter. But still, I wonder if that's the perception people have, especially more casual fans. Oh, wow, well, yeah, they got Tom Brady. Now they won it all. And yes, again, Tom Brady was huge. And I don't think, I still wonder, I told you guys this a few shows ago, I still wonder if the Bucs, and in particular Jameis, had played well in that final game of the 2019 season, and let's say Jameis throws for 3 touchdowns and no picks, let's say they don't go to overtime with the Falcons, let's say they don't throw a pick 6 to end the season and that game against the Falcons in overtime, leaving a horrible taste in everybody's mouth. Let's say Jameis actually shorted up just a little bit, and the Bucs go 8-8 instead, and they win, and he does a lot better, you know, just that one game. I mean, talking about, would that have been enough to convince the Bucs to take a stab? Would Tom Brady have not considered coming here? Would he have not considered the Bucs an option? I mean, he might have said, hey, I want to come to Tampa anyway through back channels, and the Bucs would have done it then. But I just wonder, like, and you think about, like, little things in Bucs history that changed the trajectory of the franchise. I think about them blowing the lead to the Saints in 2014, the final game of the year that allowed them to get the number one pick instead of number two, and they took Jameis Winston instead of what would have been Marcus Mariota. And I don't know how different that would have been, but I mean, you know, that's one that I think about. Yeah, you think about just all these little things, these little forks in the road that if it had gone the other way, it changes everything behind it. And I think about that one. Like, I wonder what would have happened if Jameis Winston had played better, and not well enough to make the playoffs, but just better enough that we weren't just, you know, by that end of that Falcons game, I think everybody had been like, oh, God. I know Arians, that was the final straw for Arians. But would it have been if he'd done a little better? I wonder. So anyway, he didn't. We got Tom Brady. But I told my friend, I said, that's hard. That's only the beginning of it. And what the Bucs have been able to do, and what Jason Light in particular and the scouting staff and everybody's been able to do, you know, it shouldn't be reduced to, hey, we got Tom Brady and then we won the Super Bowl because we got Tom Brady. Even if you don't think they could have won without Tom Brady, that certainly wasn't the only reason they won. And so people can think whatever they want. I mean, again, it doesn't matter at all. But I just kind of had to chuckle a little bit talking to him on the phone the other night. And I don't think it says anything about the NFL. I mean, the NFL, first of all, it's a good thing when teams can have hope. You know, I used to think that it did take, and this is because this is how I saw it go with the first time the Bucs won, that it took years and years of coming close and just missing and building and building, and that you couldn't just turn around in one season. And you don't see a ton of worst to first type things in the NFL as far as winning championships. You can win your division coming from last place in your division. But you don't see a ton of worst to first type cases. But yeah, it is good to see that a team can go 7-9, you know, not just add a few pieces, but improve with people they already have developmentally in a few places, and then be close enough to win a Super Bowl. I mean, I think that's a good thing. I think there's extremes both ways. I mean, you don't want to ever have it where, you know, parity is just ridiculous and you know, like the NHL, I kind of don't like, even though the Lightning are dominating, the NHL's entire goal of everything is parity, parity, parity. They have it in their point system built in, their playoff system. I mean, everything just feels like a random pinball machine a lot of the time. And the Lightning have been able to stay inside the pinball machine long enough to win a cup this past season. But, I mean, that feels random as hell. Baseball's on the other end. Baseball doesn't feel random at all. Baseball, it feels extremely hard for all but a handful of teams to win. The Rays are one of those teams because they're so well run. But there's plenty of other teams on the Rays' budget and even more who can't come anywhere close to that type of production. I think the NFL's right where it needs to be. I think the NFL, everybody feels like they have a chance. There's no big market, small market crap because they know how to do revenue sharing. They have a salary cap. I firmly believe in that, and I firmly believe it's the way it should be in all the sports. I think baseball would be better off with it too. But it's enough so that a team can be dominant. You do see dynasties, obviously, like you saw with the Patriots, and not just winning championships, but perennially good teams. And yet you don't feel like a team can just never be good because teams come and go. I mean, the 49ers were a bad team, then they went to the Super Bowl, then they went back to being kind of mediocre. There's fluctuations, but it's just the right amount, in my opinion, in the NFL. So I don't think it says anything about the league other than everybody can do this if you do it the right way. And it's not easy to do it the right way. And the TV deals that are going to be signed and that are being signed also say a lot about the league because they continue to lead all sports in TV revenue, revenue in general, ratings, eyeballs, all those things. And it's why we're already getting excited for the draft coming up here in a few weeks with the Bucks picking 32nd. And I'll tell you what, this is another thing, getting Sue back. Because Sue, you know, he's 34. There's some decline expected at age 34. But even this past season, I mean, he had 6 sacks in 2020. That's the most he had since 2015. He was second on the team with 19 quarterback hits because he can't just go by sacks. He had to go by pressures and stuff like that. You know, he produced, and when Vita Vea was out with his injury for as long as he was, basically the entire regular season after the first, what was it, second, third, or fourth game, whatever it was, I mean, Sue was very important up front. So having him back now means, and you still need, I mean, in my opinion, you still need people up front. I mean, front seven, always, 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 always. But with this draft, the Bucks don't really have a glaring positional need now, whereas if they hadn't re-signed Sue, they might have had to really hone in up there. And they still should take somebody, you know, on the defensive front if they like somebody at 32 who's there. This isn't like a huge draft as far as depth up front. But I know there's the one guy from Alabama, I think it was. And then there might be a couple more. Point is, they don't have to. You know, they don't feel like, hey, we really got to get some depth up front. We're short there. They're not really short anywhere. Although, youthfully, they're not really stacked up front. Most of their up front people are aging, and so I still would go that direction or look to go that direction if I could. But you don't have to force it, is my point. You don't have to shoehorn anything. If you see a guy you like at any position, you really like him, then take him at 32 or even trade down or whatever. So email me if you want to. Always love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. It's BobbyGameDay at Yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can always find me at Bobby Game Day. One other thing I wanted to get to, actually a couple weeks ago, I never got to it, was the ticket price increase that the Bucks have announced. It's not a, depending on where you sit, it's not huge, but if you remember, the Bucks did increase ticket prices before the 2020 season when we thought it was going to be a regular season with all kinds of tickets. Then it ended up just being season ticket holders having to pay for, even those people couldn't get all the games. A lot of them had to just take certain games here and there. But we're hoping, at least, and it hasn't, you know, nothing's been official yet. Lightning just started allowing some people in. The Rays are going to have, you know, 9,000, which isn't that far off from a normal weeknight anyway, but it is still limited technically. But by the time we get to August or September, you know, hopefully it's maybe closer to half, or maybe it's the whole thing. Who knows, you know? But the point is, they are increasing ticket prices. It can be anywhere from like 10 to 45% depending on what zone you're in and things like that. So for those of you that are already season ticket holders that are locked into a certain section or certain seat, and nobody's locked in anything. You can come and go as you please, but if you're just trying to maintain what you already have, you may just have an increase dropped in your lap. If you're like me and you're getting ready to purchase season tickets, which I had always had, I mean, I've told you the story before, but I was a season ticket holder from like my teenage years when I finally got a driver's license all the way through my early 30s. And then I dropped the season tickets, not out of some sort of dissatisfaction with the Bucks or anything, but just because I didn't find it a worthwhile investment anymore. Because I could, well, first of all, I was doing radio and I had a media credential. But second of all, I still go to games as a fan. I don't always go on a credential. And second of all, you used to have season tickets to go to the game. Like, it was really hard to get the tickets individually. Now you could buy season tickets. The past 10 years, like, you could just buy, if I want to go to a game on a Sunday, I'll buy tickets for that one. And I'm not committing to anything but that week. And I just found that to be a better way to do it once I had kids and things like that. It was just easier. But I said, hey, I'm going to buy season tickets again if they ever fix the uniforms. I said, I won't give any more money to them while they're wearing these monstrosities. And then what'd they do? They fixed it. So I was ready to go in for 2020. Then COVID happened. No new season ticket sales. So I'm going to do it for 2021. And the operative number for me, for any season ticket purchase, is only one number, okay? I don't look at this section or that section or what increase. What is the cheapest available ticket? Because that is the type of guy I am, okay? I always buy tickets, whatever the lowest price one is, I'll buy that one. I'll either sit in those seats, because Raymond James Stadium doesn't have bad seats. Even the upper deck is pretty close. Some stadiums' upper decks, you feel really far away. If you go to the very last row of Raymond James Stadium, maybe not the corners, but either side that's like parallel to the field, even the very last row of that place, you feel like you're right on top of the field and you feel part of the action. It's not like sitting, you know, 20 rows behind the sideline. But it's not like some stadiums where you feel like you're on the moon or something like that. So I'll sit anywhere. But what I usually do is I go down to the end zones where those railings are, because I like to stand up at the railings. I did that the whole time I had season tickets before, and I'll probably do that again. So what to me is the most important number? The lowest number. Just tell me what the cheapest season ticket is. I don't care about anything else. And that is not moving. That was $40. Before this increase, it is still $40 now. So everybody's different. Some people don't find it worth it to go to a game unless they have good seats, and they're going to pony up and they'll pay for the lower deck. That's fine. To me, I look at these prices, though, and I'm like, you know, like $1,000 for one seat. If you have a family of four, you're putting in $4,000, you know, and that's, to me, I could do it, I guess, but I'm not doing it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So give me the $40. 10 games, that's $400. Fine. Even that's a little high, I think. You know, when I started buying season tickets, it was like $150 for the 10 games combined. But fine, I'll do $400. And even those, you know what I do? And I told you this before. And I'll do it again this year. I don't buy them until they play the second preseason home game. That's 80 of the bucks gone. Now I'm paying $320 for 8 games, which is fair. I'll take that. And if the Bucks don't want to do that, then I wouldn't buy them, but they'll do it. You think they're going to not take your money? You think if you call them to get season tickets, and again, if you're renewing every year trying to keep the same seats, then I guess you have to go back into the queue or whatever if you stop. You know. But for me, I'll just call them in August after they play. I don't even know what the preseason schedule is going to look like, or if they're still doing 4 or if they're doing 3 or 2 or what. They haven't really been clear about that. But whatever it is, I'm not paying for the preseason games. If I want to go to one, I'll still go, but I'll buy it for $5 or $10 before the game. And then I'll just go, hey, I want to buy season tickets. Opening home game of the regular season's next weekend. Can I buy them? What do you think they're going to say? No. If they're sold out, they'll say no, but that's not happening right now. So it depends on the market. It depends on a lot of factors, but I think the buyer is in a position of power right now. You don't have to be like, oh, I got to commit. I got to get on a waiting list. I got to commit whenever they tell me to commit. I got to pony up right here and now. Remember seat deposits? I canceled my season tickets remember how you had to pay double? Like if you bought a $400 season ticket, you had to pay them $800 and then they would pay you back the $400, like $8 a year for like 50 years or something like whatever. You know, like that's what they did. And I remember when I canceled my season tickets, I still had $80 left on my refund, which they were, again, paying at a snail's pace. And I still kind of think about that $80 sometimes. Like, I want the Bucks. I've decided I will take $80 in stadium bucks. Like, if you just give me $80 in turkey legs or something from the concession stand, I would take that at this point. I would consider it even. But I haven't forgotten the number. All right? And I'm going to get it back. But anyway, I do plan, you know, once all this stuff calms down and hopefully we get more clarity on what's going on, to purchase. If you're thinking about doing that too, I encourage you to just consider what's important to you and what's not. And if you don't care about the preseason games, buy them after the preseason games get played. And if they tell you no, then they're turning your money away. That's up to them. They're not going to do that, though. Honestly, I just hope it's all normal. Like, I hope it's plenty of seats to go buy season tickets, and the percent capacity and all that still remains to be seen. Might be a little soon. I mean, August is only, what? I guess that's 5 months away. That's longer. It feels like it's closer than it is. 5 months is a while. But we'll see. Anyway, in the meantime, folks, that's a wrap for this week. We'll be back next week. By then, we might know even more. Might get some more news on AB and Fournette. Of course, we'll be a week closer to the draft and all that stuff. But either way, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. I'm always appreciative to be on the single best place anywhere on the internet for Buccaneer coverage. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. And thanks to all of you. Enjoy the weekend. We're in that beautiful time of year now. Have some fun with it. And I'll be back next week. In the meantime, stay safe. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.